This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin today with a look at New England's energy future and how we should get there. Just about everyone, from environmentalists to the governor to the guy selling you the light bulbs at your local hardware store, is talking green about renewable sources of power. That's the goal. But among the big questions is how much carbon-polluting fossil fuel do we need in the short term to build that bridge to the state's green future? That question is very much at the heart of a debate about a proposed natural gas pipeline through New England. After months of widespread community opposition, the company behind it has proposed a new path. It would run from the fracking gas fields of Pennsylvania into upstate New York through western Massachusetts, then up and across southern New Hampshire, then south again to a terminal in Dracut, Massachusetts. The goal is to get more gas to the region and bring down electricity prices, which are expected to spike this winter. In a moment, we'll hear from a state senator who's a leading opponent of the pipeline. But first, Alan Foer joins me in the studio. He's a vice president at Kinder Morgan, the company that's hoping to build the pipeline. And Alan Foer, welcome to Radio Boston. Thank you very much for coming in.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
So originally, the proposed route of this pipeline would have gone through western and central Mass. You encountered lots of opposition from communities along that route. Now you're proposing to go across southern New Hampshire, following predominantly existing right-of-ways along utility lines. Why did you change the route?
Well, part of siting infrastructure for any company is to get public input. And we had 42 public meetings on this project over several months. And part of what we learned from state officials, from local officials, is where we could try to avoid areas that are particularly environmentally sensitive to New Hampshire in the sense of Article 97 lands, conservation lands. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we've adjusted our route to co-locate with an existing transmission line that's a power line, above-ground power line, for all of the mainline route in Massachusetts and most of the route, mainline route, over 90% in New Hampshire.
So the idea would be less public opposition, presumably?
Potentially. I don't have any doubt that there will still be public opposition to the project, but addressing the concerns that we've heard is the important step that we're taking now.
Well, so my understanding is to build this that you're going to need permission from federal regulators. And,
right.
And one of the ways you have to get that permission is to demonstrate that this region actually needs this gas. Do we need it?
Well, you know, we've been distributing natural gas, transporting natural gas to New England for over 60 years. We're one of the major providers of natural gas to the region. And we base our determination of need on customers. Those are the utilities that distribute gas to homes and businesses. And they're telling us they do. They're signing up for contracts on our line to reserve space on this line expansion. So that's what we base our potential project on. So we're trying to develop a project that addresses the needs of the customers. Those are the local distribution companies for gas primarily in the region. Address a project that can meet their needs and also meet the environmental standards for pipeline infrastructure siting.
Well, let me ask you this. Because of improvements in efficiency over the past decade or more, conservation and so forth, energy needs here in Massachusetts have flattened. In fact, they are flat. Massachusetts takes pride in being the most energy efficient state in the nation right now when it comes to energy consumption. So a pipeline that will carry between 1.2 and 2.2 billion cubic feet a day, some would argue, look, we're going the other way. We don't need all of this extra power.
Well, you are a leader in energy conservation, but you're also, unfortunately, a leader in the highest gas prices in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an issue here, and it's a public policy issue. So I think there needs to be a balance. I mean, we're a natural gas transportation company, and we call natural gas a bridge energy. And I think in your intro you said just that.
Right.
How do we get to a renewable future? And certainly in the short term there's going to be a need for additional natural gas. And that's really what this discussion is going to be about at a federal level and the state level is what's going to provide for the natural gas needs for New England for the future as you transition to renewables? You're relying less on fuel oil, less on nuclear, less on coal. Natural gas is picking up most of that slack. Renewables are also going up. But natural gas is providing much of the energy supply, not just for heating homes and businesses, but for electricity as power generation is coming from natural gas. Now, natural gas is still a fossil fuel, but it's 50% less carbon emissions from natural
right,
gas.
Right.
So that's really the question here. We're trying to build a project of size and scope to satisfy not just Massachusetts. Remember, this is a New England project.
Yeah.
Maine needs gas. New Hampshire needs gas. And one of the attractive features of this route adjustment we made is in partnership with Liberty Utilities, which is the natural gas distributor for New Hampshire. We have the opportunity to bring natural gas to communities in New Hampshire that currently don't have gas service and are primarily relying on fuel oil.
But isn't it true that you're going to be bringing with this pipeline a whole lot more gas than this region needs, and that you'll actually be turning a lot of it into liquefied natural gas and shipping it overseas, right?
No. We don't have any LNG export customers on this project. I've heard that a lot, but we don't have any export customers. And the reason that we don't is because we require for commitments to our project, long-term commitments, number one, usually 15 to 20 years, from creditworthy companies. And none of the LNG entities that are talking about doing that have been able to meet those standards. Now, we are an open access line. All natural gas interstate pipelines are. So if a creditworthy company comes along in the future, we have to be open to that concept. But right now, as we're sitting here today, we don't have any contracts. And the contracts we do have, the commercial agreements that we have for this project, are all local distribution companies in New England.
But at some point in the future, if you said a creditworthy customer were to come along, you would
it's
be
possible.
In a position to
it's
sell.
It's possible, but yeah. We can't base the construction of this project on hypotheticals. We have to have firm commitments. That's the way we do business. Firm, long-term commitments justifying the $5 billion investment that this project will be.
Let me ask you sort of one final question from the sort of side of the opponents, and that is one of the arguments against the pipeline echo in many ways those made against the Keystone XL pipeline, that they're both opposed by environmentalists who say that we should be spending money on renewable sources of energy rather than older fossil fuel sources of energy. What do you say to that?
I think you can do both. I think you certainly have Massachusetts is a leader in renewable energy and a renewable energy future, but also, as I said, you've got an issue with high gas prices. And these high gas prices are not just about utilities. They're about the person who is trying to pay their gas bill in the winter, and these prices are spiking. It's a serious economic issue, and one that I think has to go along with all the other public policy issues as New England is determining what type of energy future it wants to have.
All right. Well, that's Alan Foore. He's Vice President of Public Affairs at Kinder Morgan, which is proposing to build a natural gas pipeline across part of Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire. Thank you so much for coming in and for
joining us. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And joining me now for another perspective on the pipeline debate is Jamie Eldridge. He's a state senator from Middlesex and Worcester District, and he joins me from the State House. Senator Eldridge, welcome back to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
I'd like to get your response to what we just heard from Alan Foore. Are you still opposed, first of all, to this pipeline, given the new route through southern New Hampshire?
Yes, I am still opposed to the pipeline because it's really not an issue for me about where the pipeline would go. It's really about whether we need this kind of natural gas infrastructure at a moment where the state is trying to move away from fossil fuels, where the estimated costs of building this infrastructure are really sort of all over the place. And I think that the negative effect it will have on the environment for all of New England. So I continue to be opposed.
Well, you heard what Alan Foore just said, and he made one of the points he made is that electric rates are poised to increase dramatically this winter. Among the causes of that is a shortage of natural gas, according to power companies. So why wouldn't increasing the amount of natural gas, at least in the short term, make sense?
Well, first of all, it's important to keep in mind that short term is, in my mind, very opposite from a plan to build a $4 billion natural gas pipeline that will be with us for decades. So I think that the bridge analogy is a bit inaccurate. And I think that when we're talking about why prices are so high in Massachusetts, a key reason why electricity prices or natural gas prices now are so high is that the infrastructure we have now with our currently existing pipelines or just the delivery of natural gas is really inefficient. And I put that burden on the utility companies and companies like Kinder Morgan that haven't upgraded their facilities to provide energy on demand when there's peak demand, such as in the winter. I'd much rather see the companies focus on that than building an entirely new piece of infrastructure, which will, you know, be paid for by the the ratepayers throughout Massachusetts.
I'd love to get your thinking. I asked Alan for if the goal sort of long term is to, you know, bring much more natural gas into this region than is needed by this region, convert it into liquefied natural gas and sell it overseas. He said there are no long term contracts to do that right now, although it's a possibility. Should that be a concern for this region? I mean, because in selling that liquefied natural gas overseas at a much higher price, it could actually raise the prices here.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you asked that question to Alan, because I do think that is a question is, down the line, could, as Alan said, a creditworthy customer choose to, you know, hook up with the expanded natural gas that would come to Massachusetts under the proposed pipeline, and that would, you know, in my opinion, increase the use and demand for natural gas and move away from state environmental and alternative energy policy. So I do think that's possible. I've certainly heard it talked about a lot. I'm not, you know, certain how likely it is, but I think it's possible because, you know, very simply, if you build it, they will come. The alternative version is, you know, investing in energy efficiency, so every single home and building is more energy efficient, investing more in alternative energy, and again, improving the turnaround for peak demand natural gas with our current infrastructure and not building new, very expensive infrastructure.
But how do we solve this short-term problem? Because, again, listening to what Alan Foer was saying, he said that, you know, they're just a pipe, they're just a natural gas delivery system, essentially. They're just a pipeline. And they say they're being told by the power companies that there's not enough gas in the region right now, and that's going to cause prices to spike. So it's really going to hit people in their pocketbooks in the short term. What's the short-term solution to that problem that families will face?
Well, the short-term solution is we have existing LNG infrastructure in Massachusetts. It's just a question of having the delivery happen on a more dependable basis so that when we can anticipate a very cold winter or variations in energy needs for consumers in Massachusetts, that energy, whether it's, you know, natural gas or other forms of energy, is provided on a more timely basis. I would respectfully say that's the biggest reason why we have spikes in electricity costs and not a lack of natural gas coming to Massachusetts. So I think that needs to be fixed. And that's really something that the burden, again, is on the utility companies and companies like Kinder Morgan.
All right. I have one last question, and that is this new route. As you know, there was a lot of community-by-community opposition when it was going to go across western Massachusetts and central Massachusetts. Now Kinder Morgan wants to put it up through southern New Hampshire and follow existing right-of-way power lines and so on and so forth. Doesn't that improve the scenario just a bit? And do you expect there to be do you still expect there to be opposition given that rejiggering of the route?
It'll be interesting to see. You know, 3 weeks ago, the Stop the Pipeline Coalition had a forum in Fitchburg, which I and some other colleagues spoke at, and there were about equal number of New Hampshire residents and North Central Mass residents all opposed to the pipeline. And when this discussion of an alternative was brought up, you know, there were a full crowd of boos in the auditorium. So I think that the group that's opposed to this, it's not just about not in your backyard, but it's really opposed to the negative environmental, and I would say economic effects on all of Massachusetts, and I would say all of New England, including, of course, New Hampshire.
All right. Well, that's Jamie Eldridge. He's a state senator from Middlesex and Worcester District, talking about a proposed natural gas pipeline through New Hampshire and parts of Massachusetts. Senator Eldridge, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, stay with us. Coming up, the Centers for Disease Control says doctors should talk to uncircumcised adolescents about the health benefits of circumcision. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.